Now today in your Bibles, I'm looking in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 22. And these are really familiar verses that I'm going to read, verses 31 and verses number 32. And I hope they will be, the message will be a real help to you. Verse number 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse number 32 says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, our Heavenly Father, as we come to this message today that you have directed me to preach, I pray you'll use me and help me to say what I should and nothing I shouldn't. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is just before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he makes a special note to warn Peter about what the devil is getting ready to do to him. Of course, he calls his name twice here, Simon, Simon. Now, we know that Peter, of course, failed in the flesh. Peter denied the Lord. And we know that God was trying to warn him here to be strong. Now, when it says, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren," this is not where Peter got saved. But this is what God is saying. When you come through this trial, Peter, you use this as a testimony. And of course, this is written in the Bible, so it's been used for many, many hundreds of years as a testimony. But I want to call your attention especially to verse number 32. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold," he said, "Satan desired to have this wheat," in verse number 31. Well, let's read that again. Let's just read again. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." But here's what I want you to notice. Verse 32 is what I'm looking at today. "But I have prayed for thee." But I have prayed for thee. Now, it is amazing to me that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would pray for us humans. It is amazing that God Himself, the very God of heaven, would intercede for us. Now, have you ever thought about intercessory prayer or interceding prayer? That's what I want to preach on today. Interceding prayer. Now, it is amazing what we can do through God, through prayer. Now, we're neglecting one of our greatest, greatest weapons in this day and hour. You know, the Bible said that they came to Jesus to cast out the devil, and they couldn't do it. They said, "We brought him to your disciples," and they couldn't do it. And the disciples asked, said, "Well, why couldn't we do it?" He said, "Well, because of your unbelief." He said, "How be it? This kind goeth forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Now, we forgot those two things in our society today, prayer and fasting. We forgot about those things. And we don't realize how much power that we've really got with the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we're like the elephant. They take a baby elephant, they tell me, they train him, they tie him to a cinder block or a cement block. They tie a chain around his neck. Now, when that elephant pulls the slack out, that's as far as he can go, because he's little, he can't pull that block. But over time, that elephant grows strong. But it is instilled in that elephant's brain repeatedly. He pulls and pulls, and he can't move that block. So finally, he gives up. They take that big masculine elephant. They tie him to a little circus tent. Why, that elephant could walk off with the tent, but he don't know it because they tie a chain around his neck. When the slack pulls out, the elephant thinks that's as far as he can go because that's what he's been taught. Now, brother, I believe that's where we are today. The devil has tied his chain around our neck, and we feel like there's only a certain amount of things that we can affect. Well, Let me just tell you, you know, there's stories about men in the Bible that prayed. I think about Percy Ray. I think about Percy Ray who prayed. He had the pews setting out trying to get them in the camp meeting there at Myrtle, Mississippi, and prayed. The story goes that a rainstorm came up. And boy, in Mississippi, they have some rainstorms. And he prayed. And it rained everywhere except on those pews. Another time he prayed that God would manifest himself from heaven. And 40 men signed a piece of paper. It's in Jackson, Mississippi. You can look it up right now. My wife had a copy of the papers in her hand and read it to me. and 40 men signed the paper, and there was a light shine from heaven so bright, you could read your Bible under it. Now you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, let me say to you, you can believe what you want to believe. But I believe there are men that have interceded with God. Think about Elijah. Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Elijah prayed against the normal. Elijah prayed against Ahab and his wicked administration. And God got their attention through no rain. Then Elijah prayed again and it did rain. Now I want to talk to you about intercessory prayer or interceding prayer. Now the word intercede means to intervene on one's behalf. Intervene on one's behalf. Now do you know that we're supposed to intervene on other people's behalves? We're supposed to intercede for them. Now wait a minute. If Christ prays for you and me, and he does, according to what he told Peter, Christ prays for me and he prays for you, then we are to pray for people and ourselves. So I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about several areas where we need to intercede with God. Number one, I believe we ought to intercede to God for where? For our country. I believe if there's ever been a time, we ought to pray for our nation. Listen, I want to ask you a question. You know, we're all critical sometimes of things that happen in our nation, and that's one thing that the Constitution and our forefathers afforded us was the free right, the freedom of speech. Now, that right is being taken away little by little. But we have the right to express ourselves, and that's great. But let me ask you a question. You know, if I were to talk to you, and there's all kinds of views about how the country is being ran, and you'd say, well, this is wrong, that's wrong. I want to ask you a question. Have you prayed for America? Now listen, I got nothing wrong with doing other things and trying to, I've got nothing wrong with Christian people holding office. I've got nothing wrong with having rallies for our, I've got nothing wrong with that at all. It's not working against us. It's helping us. And there are men that have given their lives to that cause, and I appreciate that. But I'd ask you something. If we're fighting a spiritual warfare, and we are, and the Bible says we're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places, then shouldn't we use spiritual weapons? Have we tried prayer and fasting? Have we tried that? Now, you know, I've got nothing wrong with a day of prayer in America, provided that people pray, amen, provided that people don't just use that prayer, that day of prayer and say a little prayer, now lay me down to sleep, park my scooter in the street, you know, that kind of prayer. But let me say this to you. We need to get back to praying. Do we pray for America? Now, here's what I do. You can do what you want to do. On my prayer list, as I pray down that list, I have every state in the United States listed alphabetically. I start with Arizona and go all the way through to Puerto Rico and the United States territories. Now listen, the reason I do that is because Oklahoma or Utah or California, let's just say, might try to pass a law that I don't know about, so I'm praying for them. Now, I've seen God work in this right here. I've seen God work. I put every state on it. Now, I don't spend much time. I just go down through there every day that I pray down that list. I call those states out by name. Now, on your prayer list, why don't you put the states down and pray for them? You say, boy, preacher, that'd take a long time. No, it don't. Time is not important when it comes to prayer. You see, friend, we are supposed to pray and intercede on behalf of our country. We don't have any right to talk about our country if we're not praying for it. On my prayer list, I have the President of the United States, no matter who he is. No matter who he is, I have to have him on there. I have the Vice President on there. I pray for the Senate, the Congress, the House of Representatives. I pray on the state level. I pray for my governor, lieutenant governor, state Senate, state House. Those are important. You know, a lot of laws are being passed in these local. I pray for my towns and my counties. You see, a lot of laws are being passed now by your state and local counties. And so we're to intercede to God. Now, you say, preacher, I don't believe that works. Well, let me show you about a man in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, God just tells Abraham he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham has a nephew down there named Lot. And I want to pick up the reading here in verse number 22 of Genesis, chapter number 18. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham said, I'm going to make a plea here before God. All right. Genesis 18, verse number 23. And the Bible says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Preadventure there be 50 righteous within the city Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? The Bible said, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Verse number 26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Verse number 27. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Verse 29. And he spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Genesis 18, verse number 30. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not do it, for I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Verse number 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. In other words, it's the last time I'm going to speak. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Now, you know what Abraham knew? He had 10 people that were relatives in that city. Now, here's the deal. Because Abraham prayed that prayer, yes, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, but Lot and his family had the chance to leave. God opened the door for them, a type of the rapture of the church. Now, let me say this to you. I believe because that man prayed, I believe because that man got a hold of God, that God lessened the judgment upon Lot and his family. Let me say this to you. The reason God has not already judged America for her sins. You think about the sins that are in America. You think about homosexuality. You think about people nowadays don't know if they're a boy, don't know if they're a girl. Amen. And it's perversion. It's wickedness of the devil. Now you think about alcohol. Think about what it's doing to our nation. Think about drugs and alcohol. And drugs have been pouring into our nation. People's making all kinds of money on it. And it's killing society. Now think about that. Think about the perverted sex in our country. Think about the rapes, the murders, the pornography. I mean, stuff that goes on in people's own homes and things. And I mean, think about all the perversion that's in our country. The cussing. I mean, even our leaders now can't have a speech without saying a cuss word. I mean, brother, it's sad. It's sad. You can't watch a sporting event without them cussing in the middle of it, or a commercial or whatever. They think it's cute. They think it's big. Now here's the deal. Why has God not destroyed America? Let me tell you why. Listen to me. Because there have been some men down through the years, like Percy Ray, and Sammy Allen, Jack Hiles, and men like that, that have prayed for old America. Now I want to ask you a question. Those men are in heaven. And in the last 5 or 6 years, God's called some of the greatest prayer warriors home. Who is replacing these men in intercessory prayer for our nation? Who is it? Now, it may be some widow woman out there. It may be some fella out there. It may be some young person. Maybe some preacher. I don't know who you are. You may be in the hills and hollers somewhere. Maybe nobody knows you're praying. But God's calling His prayer warriors home. And as people fail to pray for America, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and set up for the Antichrist. Of course, the church is going to be raptured out of here. But let me give you this. Now, I believe in the coming of the Lord. And I believe the Lord's coming soon. And I believe, of course, it's nearer than it's ever been, right? I've been saved 48 years. It's a whole lot nearer than it was when I got saved. But let me say something. I want to ask you a question. What if the Lord don't come for the next 25 years? Now, listen to me. Look at your little grandchild, 3 years old. Look at your child, 3, 4 year old. Look at them. In the next 25 years, they're going to be of age. They're going to be going to medical school. They're going to be going to law school. They're going to be learning how to be a scientist or a truck driver or a mechanic or a police officer. All right, now wait a minute. In the next 25 years, if we have no prayer warriors, if we have nobody interceding for America, what will our nation be? Will we be a third world country? Will we divide up in little states and little territories and shoot at each other? You say, preacher, that'll never happen. That's what some people are wanting right now. They're wanting that to happen. Let me ask you a question. Will we be under communism? The communists are not in Vietnam and China. The communists are right here in America. They're ready to take this country, and it's not like the communism of the 70s, but they're ready to try a social experiment right now that will fail in your country. They're right here. They're ready to do it right now. Amen. The social ideas of giving everything free. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Some charismatic leader is going to step forward, and he or she is going to promise the people a bunch of free stuff. And people are going to eat that up. They're going to go for it because you've got a generation that don't want to work. They've been spoiled. They don't have to work. And brother, when America turns that way, she's gone. And she won't recover from it. Now listen, you say, well, preacher, how in the world can we stop that? That's doom and gloom. Prayer. Interceding prayer. Interceding prayer. Do you pray? Do you pray for your governor? Do you pray for your lieutenant governor? Do you pray? You say, preacher, does it work? It sure does. It's untelling what God would do if we'd get a hold of God and intercede for this nation. Amen. And I love the country. Don't you love our country? I love our nation. I grew up in the time when you was happy to wave that flag and be a patriot. Amen. And I believe we'll do that again. So interceding prayer for our country. Now, number two, let me move on. That's not the only place now remember what Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for thee. Jesus prayed, but now if God prays for us, how much more should we pray for each other? Interceding prayer. Amen. Now, number two, not only for our country, but I think we ought to have some interceding prayer from our churches. I think our churches ought to be involved in interceding prayer. Now, every week at our church, and I guess at your church, we have prayer requests. And we mention sick folk, and we mention people. But let me ask you, how many people are you really praying for? You know, don't go to somebody. And I don't want to say this nicely, but don't go to somebody and say, I'm praying for you, and never pray for them. You know, that's a term that's widely used. You know, you'll hear people and they'll text you on social media and they go, prayers. I've had people text me that, prayers. Now, wait a minute. You're texting that, but I'm asking a question. Do you really pray? If I ever text you, and I text a fellow yesterday and his wife, they're going through some sickness right now and some sorrow, and they're going through some sickness, and the Lord told me yesterday, impressed on my heart, said, you text that couple and tell them you're praying for them, and I did, and it so uplifted that dear brother. And let me say this to you, that's the way it ought to be. I want to be real in my praying. I want to intercede for people, amen? And we as a church, now there are times that you need to pray for on your own. There are times you need to pray. But there are times you need the church's prayers. There are times I've had to go to the church and I've said, would you pray for me? We were getting, last year, we were trying to put a new radio station on the air. And brother, I'll tell you, the devil came against us. And I went to our Sunday school class several different Sundays. And maybe not several, but some Sundays. I don't know how many. And I said, will you pray about this project? I had people praying about it. And God helped us, and God got that thing on there. And let me say this to you. Interceding prayer helps. You remember, there's a story in the Bible. Herod rose up, and boy, he killed James of the sword and thought he had done a real good job of it. And he captured Peter. He's going to kill him after Easter. And the Lord, remember, sent the angel of the Lord, I believe it was Jesus Christ himself, came in there and loosed Peter's chains and let him out. But I want to show you. And I want to begin reading in Acts chapter number 12, verse number 1. Let me just read the story to you, and I want you to listen to this. The Bible said, now, about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He thought he'd go against the church. He was a big man. All right. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. All right, he killed James with the sword. That's the Apostle James. All right, now verse number 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded farther to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. The Bible said in verse number 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers. The Bible said to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Well, of course, they would have killed him. All right? And that's it. It looks kind of bad for old Peter, don't it? Peter, an apostle. Now, there's only one thing about that. Do you know why Peter laid down between those soldiers and went to sleep? Now, let me tell you why. Because in the book of John, the Lord had already told Peter how he was going to die. And Peter knew that the form of the Jews was stoning. Or with a sword. At that time, hurried kill with a sword. So, but he knew he wasn't going to die by stoning. And he knew he wasn't going to die by the sword. He knew he wasn't going to die either way. Because Jesus already told him he's going to be crucified. That's why he could lay down and go to sleep. That wasn't the way he was going to die. All right, let me go on. Let me show you now. Verse number 5. The Bible said, Peter therefore was kept in prison. But, I like this but right here, don't you? Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I mean, the church got behind this with interceding prayer. The church said, hey, we got a need. We got to pray. But now, I'll tell you something. It's time. It's time. It's time for our churches now to call prayer meetings. It's time for us to come together and pray for our nation. It's time for us to come together and pray for our needs and pray for each other. It's time for our churches again to come together. We got every kind of ministry you can think of in the church. I'm not gonna shoot some of it. Some of it's good. Some of it ain't worth a nickel. But some of it's good. But listen, what about prayer? Let me ask you a question. You know, preachers will tell you all over the country that they'll have all kind of people show up for all kinds of things. They call a prayer meeting and hardly nobody shows up. But old Brother Bobby Robertson, before he went to heaven, I heard him say this. Bobby stayed at Gospelite over 60 years. I think it's 62 years. Bobby was my friend. And Bobby said this. He said, people ask me about the success of the church. And at one time, Bobby Robertson was running 4,000 people on. So, I mean, just an old country pinto bean hot dog eating preacher. I mean, he was just country as cornbread. I love Bobby. He's my friend. And here's the thing. Bobby said this. He said, I believe a lot of our success could be attributed to the Saturday night prayer meeting. The Saturday night prayer meeting. Bro, let me tell you something. Your church service on Sunday will be no better than we pray on Saturday. And I'm guilty. I am guilty. Are you guilty? On Saturday. And I tell you what the devil will do. On Saturday is a big sports day. Especially in the fall, there's football games all over the TV. And I got in a few years ago to this college football. I got into it. And I'm telling you, a game will come on. And if you ain't careful, you'll set up 10, 11 o'clock at night watching somebody punt a football. When we ought to be in the prayer closet praying God would save a sinner on Sunday. Amen. I know that hits us right between our eyeballs, right? I'm saying, oh, ouch. I'm not saying amen. I'm saying ouch, 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 ouch. Amen. But we talk about revival. We tweet about revival. We post about revival. We talk about revivals. Pastor, there's never been a revival, friend, without prayer. I've read some of the commentary writings. I'm sorry to say, and some of them have dismissed long prayer. Some of them have said, oh, you don't have to pray to God and come and beg and pray to God and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Well, you know, there ain't one thing wrong with that. That ain't what the Bible says. That's not what your Bible says. You remember that unjust judge? I had a commentary writer say that ain't what that means. Well, you know, I'm afraid we've heard so much about the Bible. That ain't what that verse means. That ain't what that means. That ain't what that means. That ain't what that means. And people just tearing the Bible apart. Let me tell you, the Bible means what it says. The unjust judge said he wouldn't hear that widow for a long time. He said, but lest by her continual coming, she weary me. You know how God answers prayers by our continual coming. Friend, I prayed 17 years for a wife. Now, you're going to tell me that I could have got a wife in 2 years? I could have got the wrong wife in 2 years. Some of you young people would have never done it. You'd have never waited 17 years. I'm talking about interceding prayer. Listen, I want to tell you something. We ought to intercede for the needs of our church. I heard about a preacher friend of mine. Well, I say he's a preacher friend of mine. He's a brother of mine. I've only met him once, but I love him. I love to hear him preach. And he's in a hard city, boy. Some of y'all think y'all in a hard city. This man's in a hard, hard city. And I heard this man tell, He prayed 30 years, land, or land's just not available where he is. He prayed 30 years for one piece of land. My friend, listen to me. Listen to me. You know what makes things real? When you got to pray for them. You know what makes mine and my wife's relationship so real? Because I had to pray for it so long. Amen. Let me tell you something. The church, there are times the church ought to meet together in interceding prayer, and we ought to pray. There are times we ought to pray. Now, I'm not saying you got to go to prayer meeting all the time, but I mean, you know what? We ought to pray. Amen. We ought to intercede to God in prayer on people's behalf as a church. Now, let me just say this to you. Sometimes you don't have to, you can pray to God on your own. But I'm talking about interceding prayer today. I'm talking about the church. Listen, if our churches would begin to pray again, there wouldn't be as much beer and liquor in our communities. Brother, we have let liquor by the drink come into our communities. And I'll tell you why. Because we haven't stood where we ought to in prayer. You see, it's easy for the preacher to compromise if he don't stand in prayer. I'm not trying to win the upper crust. I mean, in other words, I want to win them to the Lord, but I'm not trying to be friends with people just so I can get their money. I never do that. I never will. Let me tell you something. If you're selling, making, or promoting alcohol, you got a curse on you and you're sinning. And it's a sin. It's a sin to sell it in the store, in the grocery store, in the supermarket. If you got a job in the supermarket and you're having to ring up beer, I pray God give me another job. Amen, amen, amen. You don't hear that much anymore, but it's still Bible. It's still Bible. Listen, read the book of Habakkuk. God put a woe to the man that put the bottle to his neighbor's lip. Amen. Now, if our churches would pray, we wouldn't have as much thievery and drugs in the community. I remember this years ago, when I was a little boy, and this even before I got saved. My mama got saved 3 years before I did. And I remember the old-fashioned church we went to would have revival. And I remember the preacher would call 2 weeks of prayer before we ever had that revival. Now, nowadays we have meetings. And please don't, I'm not trying to be mean. I understand we got to use social media. We use it here. But let me tell you something. Nowadays it's easier to market than it is to pray. Brother, I like to pray and see what God will do. Amen. I like to pray and see what God will do. Intercession prayer. Our churches. Boy, Peter. Amen. You know why he got delivered over there? I believe because the church prayed for him. They could have very well brought Peter out and crucified him. He could have been turned over to the Romans and they could have killed him right there. But they didn't. They didn't. Amen. And Peter knew he wasn't going to die. So he went to sleep. He knew they wasn't going to do that. But God delivered him. But I believe the intercessory prayer of that church helped. I believe back in the early days, the early church continued in prayer. They really, that's one thing. Now, I know this for a fact. You can have revival meeting, and you can have the top singing group in, and a lot of times you'll have revival. Somebody say, well, who's singing? I think that's the least important part of the meeting, if you don't know my opinion about it. It ain't some singing group who's singing. Man, what's God doing? Who's preaching? Listen, it don't matter who's doing the singing. It ain't about you. It's about Jesus. It ain't even about the preacher. So who's preaching? It ain't even about the preacher. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God, amen, getting in things. And the intercessory prayer, amen, interceding on our behalf. Amen. The church used to have some power in the community. You know, not long ago, other countries were saying, you know, you can't pray within 200 yards of an abortion clinic. Well, why did they say that? Because they know prayer is real. Prayer is real. Used to be in America, prayer was real. We called on God. Amen. God is real. God is real. Listen, we've got a real God. Now, if we had a pill for cancer, if you had it yourself, nobody else had it but you, and you had ability to make copies of that pill, multiple duplications, you'd hand it out to every cancer patient they are, wouldn't you? We've got the answer for America. We've got the answer for our churches. We've got the answer for our communities. We don't have to see our young people go to hell. We don't have to see our young people turn out to be rebellious. We don't have to. We don't have to. We can intercede to God for them. All right, number three. Let me show you intercession prayer. Peter said, God said, Peter, he said, I have prayed for thee. I believe we intercede for our country. I believe we need some intercession from our churches. Now, number three, I believe we need to intercede for other Christians. Yes, sir, I believe we need to intercede for other Christians. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. James chapter 5 verse number 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, notice what he said right here. I like this. I've used this verse a lot. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, brother, we ought to pray for each other. You know, I've got brothers and sisters on my prayer list that I pray for. Not just the church coming together, but what about private prayer for people? I've got preachers that I pray for every week of my life. Now, I don't know what you feel about me, or if you like me, or if you don't like me. I would assume, with the radio audience that we have and the people we have listening, I would assume there's some preachers out there that really don't care for me. I'd assume they were. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I'd assume they were. But I'm going to say this to you. Probably, chances are, I pray for some of you that may not like me. I think I've got some men out there that love me. I think they love the way I preach, and I try to help you. I'm nothing. I'm the radio's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. But isn't it a great thing that we can intercede on behalf of another brother or sister? I've told you the story several years ago now. It's been, well, a few years ago. I was preaching for a dear friend of mine, and he gave me several Wednesday nights. I don't know how many, three. I don't believe it's three Wednesday nights. He gave me three Wednesday nights, I believe it was, to preach for him. He was in meetings, and I was preaching for him. And I got real sick. And I thought about it. I was going up the road, and I said, Lord, I'm at the end of my road here trying to preach sick. And God laid two men on my heart. God said, I want you to text two men. He laid them on my heart. One of them wasn't even a preacher. And one of them was a pastor, a good man. And I text both of those men and asked them to pray for me. Now, I believe they did. One of them, I think he called me, and he said, what's going on, preacher? Now, let me say to you, God healed me right there in the car. You know what? Amen. Now, I had another situation come up just two or three years ago. You talk about sick. I was flat on my back. I got sick at right before New Year's. And I remember when a new year came in, tripped one year to the other. When it tripped from 2023 to 2024, I was laying flat on my back in the bed, sick as a dog. My blood pressure was so high, I was afraid to get out of the bed. I remember New Year's Day's on a Monday. I remember getting out there walking around my property trying to get some exercise, sick as a dog, sick. And brother, I text a friend of mine, a dear, dear friend of mine, a man that can get some prayers through. I text him, and he prayed for me. Brother, God healed me, and I had one of the best years I ever had that year. I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something. God's on the throne, brother. And God wants to hear your prayers. Amen. God wants to hear from you about other people. Do we pray for other people? You know, it's easy to say, Lord, no offense if your name is Jimmy, but it's easy to say, Lord, my name is Jimmy, and I'll take all you can give me. I mean, it's low, but it's just about me. Lord, I need this, that, and that, and thus. But you know, when you begin to pray for others, that's where the joy comes in. That's where the joy comes in, when you begin to pray for those that are burdened down, those in need of prayer. Did you know what an encouragement you can be by just saying a little prayer for somebody? I told you the story. I think it was on the last message I preached on radio. I was going down the road. My daddy had a stroke one day. This preacher, as far as I know, he didn't know anything about it. And I get this text on my phone. Dear Lord, bless Brother Ricky, whatever he's going through today. Oh, you don't know. And that started a text ministry in my life. Now, I don't text in chains. I got nothing wrong if you do that. If you text 500 people a day, that's fine. I'm not knocking that at all. Please don't misunderstand. But if you get a text from me personally that says I've been praying for you, then I'm praying. I'm nothing. But I guess it's because I preach so much on prayer. I now have people text me, call me, and ask me to pray for them. I had a dear preacher friend of mine the other day. And boy, this man was going, and I ain't even can't discuss even where he was going to go to be a witness for the Lord at. It was I can't even discuss it. I mean, he could have been in great danger. And he told me the time he's going to be there and asked me to pray. And I tried my best to pray for this man. Interceding for that, I'll never forget this. When I was pastoring a church. One of my men went with some of the boys into the prisons. I'll never forget this. Went some of the boys in the prisons, and it was on a Friday afternoon, and the Lord so impressed me. He said, I want you to get down and pray for your brother that out of your church and that other brother. He said, I want you to get down and pray for him. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock. Now, I got down on my knees, and I prayed. I don't know what I said, but I told the Lord, you know, whatever it was, Lord, help him in the prison. Later, I asked one of the men, I said, brother, can I ask you something? He said, yeah. I said, what was going on last Friday at 3 o'clock? He said, brother. He said, we thought we was going to get killed in that prison. Have you ever interceded to God for somebody? Have you ever prayed for somebody on their behalf? You see, there's a lot. You say, oh, preacher, I just can't think of anybody to pray for. Oh, my. Oh my. Oh my. Just write people's name down that you come. I have people on the radio that write me. Now I can't put everybody on my prayer list. That'd be impossible. But I do try to pray for you. If you write me a letter on the radio and you say, would you pray? I've had people write me from different states say, would you pray for me? I've had people call. I had a dear fella call me. Boy, he's in a mess. Good. Now I've never seen anybody got in such a mess he is in. And his wife, that's just a mess. And, you know, I've stopped and had prayer for many people on the phone. I think about a dear man. If I call this man's name, you'd know him in our country. He's a great, great man of God. And he speaks all over the country. I'm not even sure if he's a preacher, but he speaks all over the country. And many of you have had him in your churches. And he's a great, and not too many years ago, I guess it's been several years ago now, this man was going through the biggest fire in his life. I mean, one of the biggest trials of his life. And so I called his office and he preached all over the country. And they said, well, he's not going to talk to you about that. I said, that's fine. I don't want him to talk to me about it. That's fine. But you know what? It wasn't just a little while till that man called me. And I was on the phone with somebody else, and the man said to me, this is my cell phone. He said, now you keep calling me till you get me. And I called him back. Man's preached all over the country. I mean, he's the type of fella that if you could have him pray for you, you'd be blessed by doing that. But I had the privilege that day. That man was brokehearted. And I said to him, sir, and he explained the situation, the trial he's going through to me, and he talked to me about it. And I said, sir, can I pray for you? He said, you can. And one of the biggest privileges of my ministry was bowing my head and getting to pray for my dear brother that's reached so many people across America, preached far greater sermons than I'll ever preach. But I got to pray for him that day. Let me tell you something. Everybody needs somebody. Don't you ever get so big that you think that you don't need prayers. I think about a dear nationally known preacher. Many of you have had him in your churches to preach, and he's been a friend of mine for many years. Oh, he preached all over. I don't know if anybody preaches more than this man does. And the other day, I just text people when it comes to my mind, when the Holy Spirit brings me. And so I prayed a prayer for him, texted. Oh, you can just tell how that helped him. I'm thinking about another dear brother of mine. I could give you illustration after illustration. Another brother of mine, boy, he went through some trials. Man, he had some family members that passed away, and boy, he's a preacher, and he's trying to pastor church and preach revival meetings, and this man ain't. I guess he's not as well known as some of the others, but he's one of my heroes. A man been through what he's been through, and every once in a while I pray for him, and every once in a while he'll text me and pray for me. Let me tell you something, brother. I believe what I pray. And by the way, not just text. Sometimes you ought to pick the phone up and call people. I've told you this story. Nationally known evangelist, my good friend. He preached all over the country. This is another man. Preached all over the country. And I never forget it. I was praying one day, and the Holy Ghost said, I want you to call him. Now I said, not right now, Lord. I want to get done with this prayer. He said, I want you to call him right now. I said, but Lord, he said, call him right now. So I laid down what I was doing, laid my prayer list down. I picked phone up, and I called him. I said, brother, please tell me what's going on with you. I said, God told me to call you. He hollered for his wife. He said, come in here. I want you to hear this. He said, now, Brother Ricky's called me. And I said, brother, yeah, I've called. What's going on? He said, brother, I'm trying to move to another state. Said, I'm sick with the flu, and she's sick with the flu. And said, man, we're in the mess. And let me, you know what, that man was just so grateful that I called him. Listen, the Holy Ghost is always on time, every time. Do you have a prayer list? Dr. Ballou said, you won't do much praying without one. I believe he's right. I believe Dr. Ballou's right. I tell you, you need to get a prayer list. Put some people on your prayer list and pray for them. Amen. Number one, we'll pray for our country. Number two, we'll have some intercession. We'll have some intercession for our country. We'll have some intercession from our churches. Number three, we'll have intercession for other Christians. Number four, you that are parents, you ought to have some intercession for your children. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for your children? Listen, memorizing Bible verses is great. I count that honor. Your children knows the Bible. Sending them to Christian school is great. But I'll tell you something. They can memorize the whole Bible. You can send them to a Christian school. But if you don't pray for them, I doubt they'll turn out right. You know, I had the privilege. My little mama got saved 3 years before I did. And I don't know, I guess before I announced my call to preach, my mama prayed for me to be a preacher. I guess my mama prayed me out of other things. She prayed me to be a preacher. I want to thank God today that I'm a preacher. But more than that, I want to thank God I had parents that prayed for me. 1977, I was under deep conviction. And my old daddy prayed, "Dear God, will you save Ricky?" My daddy's in heaven today. My daddy won't have any rewards. He got to heaven by the skin of his teeth. My daddy lost every reward he ever had. He just run from God. He's rebelled. God took him out of here. But there's one thing my daddy prayed for. My daddy prayed. I'm sitting behind a microphone today because I had a praying mom and dad. They wasn't much. They didn't do everything right. No, they didn't manage their money right. My daddy left some bad testimonies in some places. I admit that on the radio. I'll tell you that. It's sad to say that. But I believe this. I believe my old daddy I believe in his early years when he got back right with God, I believe he got a hold of God the best he knew how. And my little mama got a hold of God the best she knew how. I'm sitting here before you. I'm married to the right wife today because a mama interceded for me and prayed for me. Oh, let me tell you, she prayed for me. I thank God. Listen, I want to ask God, have you ever prayed for your children? You say, "Preacher, that's what I sent them to the Christian school for." No, it's not the Christian school's job to raise them. No, the preacher can't pray everybody to do right. It's got to be the parents. You got to have some prayer. I want to read to you from the book of Job. Job chapter number 1, verse number 4. The Bible said, it's talking about Job's sons, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." Now, whatever these boys were doing, Job didn't approve of it. And Job went to praying for them. And I don't know. It could have been that that's why these boys got took home early. I don't know what that feasting was about. It just didn't sound good. It may be that these 10 people lost their lives in the book of Job, chapter number 1. It could be. Not Job wasn't caught in his sin, but it could be they went home early because of their feasting. I don't know what they were doing. Job didn't like it. Job prayed for. I want to ask a question. Do you like what your son daughter's doing? Let me. You go around to everybody. Every revival meeting, every preacher you meet, pray for my boy. Pray for my boy. I want to ask a question. I'm going to be a little mean here. Is that all right? How much have you prayed for your boy? I'm going to be a little mean. Is that all right? Why should we spend time praying for your boy as a preacher when you ain't praying for him? I had something come up here in the ministry. I met with the Lord about it. The Lord said to me, "Son," he said, "if you ain't no more interested in it than you are," he said, "why should I answer it?" Let me tell you something, brother. You know what God wants continually? The key to that verse is continually. Continually. And Job offered sacrifice. Now, if you study that, Job went to God with those sacrifices. He was making intercession, and that day that's what they did. It would be the equivalent of us praying today. Let me ask you, have you prayed for your girl to turn out right? Have you prayed for your boy to turn out right? Have you prayed for him to marry right? You see, it's easy not to pray. And then when they're in the jail, it's easy to say, "Preacher, would you go see my son, please? I wonder what got him there." No prayer in the home. It's untelling who I'd have married had my mama not prayed for me to get the right wife. It's untelling what would happen. I believe this. I believe mama prayed. I believe this. Mama probably prayed some girls, and they wasn't, it's not that they were bad people, it's just they wasn't right for me. Mama probably prayed some of them out of the way. Let me tell you something, brother. You know what? You got intercessory prayer. You got a mama or daddy. Some of you got a mama or daddy been praying for you for years. Young people, can I talk to you for a minute? You can go out and drink your liquor. You can do your immorality. You can get in jail. You can get like the prodigal son. You reckon that old prodigal son's daddy ever prayed for him? I bet he did. They kept up with him somehow or another because they knew how he'd wasted his money. And boy, one day, can you imagine old prodigal, that old daddy? I don't know how long that son been gone. But can you imagine the dust started flying up down the road? And I ain't saying this happened, but maybe the mama was out there with old Pa, and she said to him, said, "Pa, look yonder," said, "somebody's coming down the road." And old Pa said, "Man, that looks a whole lot like our boy." Mama said, "I don't know about that." And the closer he got, old Pa said, "That is my boy." And old Pa ran and fell on his neck and welcomed him home. Thank God. Amen. Ain't it good when people come home and they come home over your prayers? Amen. Hey, you intercede for people. Intercede for people. Amen. Pray for your children. Number five. Let me give you this one. What about praying for our companion? God has given me the best wife on the face of God's earth. My wife never asks us for anything. She don't keep up with the latest fashion. She don't keep up with the latest clothes. She don't want the biggest house. My wife drives a car, as of the time I'm preaching, it's over 200,000 miles on one of them. And then our old Spire car that ain't as good as it's got almost over 200 on it. My wife is a great Christian. I watch my wife go pray and read her Bible. I watch my wife, and she's been, over the years, she's just been right there with me. And for years, we've been married now. And God sent her to me. Some of you know the story, how God gave me my wife. And let me say something about my wife. You better believe I pray for her. I prayed for her on something the other day, and God answered it. And boy, I just thank God He did about my wife. God answered this little something she's interested in, you know, not some big thing she wanted, but just a little something she don't ask for much. But just a little something I prayed for, and it came to pass. Let me say this to you. You ought to pray for your husband or your wife. Don't you go in and tell them how bad they cook and how bad they clean the house and how bad he won't get this done, that done, how bad a mechanic he is on the car. Do you ever pray for him? You'd rather go down to marriage counseling and grumble about him. You'd rather go to some a group of ladies or a group of men and talk about your husband or your wife. Let me tell you, I ain't going to talk about my wife. Number one, I'm afraid she'll put me in a headlock. I'm just kidding about that. But number two, I can talk about my wife because I got the best wife in the world. But I do, and by the way, my wife prays for me. I go preach and my wife will say to me, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." Boy, it means a lot to me. Amen. She said, "I prayed for you this day." If my wife sees I'm struggling, she'll say, I prayed for you. Boy, I've been sick. My wife's seen me flat on my back. And I never ask my wife. I don't call her old woman. I don't call her old lady. I don't say, "Old lady, bring me a Coca-Cola here." I don't do that. Matter of fact, I never ask my wife. I try not to. I don't want to. I don't ever want to ask my wife to bring me anything if I can help it. I'm big enough to go get my own tea and my own water. But I've been flat on my back, laying in the bed. And I've had to ask my wife, bring the peppermint oil to turn down the nausea. Bring the Coca-Cola to turn down the migraine. And I've even had to ask her, I said, "Put a pan under the bed. You know bad things get ready to happen." I said, flat on my back. I remember one time, my wife was sick. And I took one of them big migraines, and I was sick. She is sick. And she is so sick, she said, "Ricky, I couldn't even get out of the bed to help you." I knocked on the wall. She didn't even hear me. Me and her both sick. But oh, I've got a good wife. Do you ever pray for your companion? You know, not praying for your companion is a good way for the devil to have you in divorce court. You know that? And by the way, I'm not for divorce. God's not for it. But you ain't got nobody to blame but yourself if you don't pray for your husband or your wife. You don't. I'm preaching some widow folk. They're widowed or widowed. Their wife or husband's left them. And you know what? They'd tell you right now, "Boy, I wish I could go back and pray for my husband again. I wish I could pray for my wife again." Oh, but let me tell you something, friend. You know, we take each other for granted if we care. You know, I consider my wife, that's a person. And by the way, women are people too, men. I see some of these men, they have a problem around women. They just have a problem. They think, well, by the way, women are not second-class citizens. I'm going to say something to you. If you're a man and you feel that way, you got problems. You need to get in an altar. Amen. You need to get in an altar somewhere. A woman is not inferior to you. Now, a woman's not to take leadership, but in God's eyes, a woman is important as you are. You remember some women did some great deeds in the Bible. Remember Jael killed a Canaanitish king? You remember that woman that cast that millstone down on that fella's neck? You remember Hannah that prayed for a son? Amen. You remember Abigail? Boy, David was about ready to do something big, wrong. A lot of you girls named Abigail. You know where you got your name? Abigail in the Bible. Great lady in the Bible, did a great thing. Now listen, do you pray for your companion? Boy, if you don't, put her on your prayer list and pray for her. You know, your wife or husband ought to be your best friend. I can honestly say me and my wife are best friends. We really are. Now, let me ask you, do you pray for them? Now, I've got to move. I got to move on. Amen. Amen. Genesis 25, we find that Isaac prayed for Rebekah for 20 years before Esau and Jacob were born. Now, you got to read the scripture to get that, but he prayed for them for 20 years. He prayed for Rebekah to have children, and he entreated, he offered incense, and that word incense, it literally means to offer up prayer. I believe he prayed. 20 years he stayed with God. 20 years he entreated God, was the word. He entreated God for 20 years for her. And you say, preacher, my wife does things I don't agree with. All right, why don't you pray for her about it? It might take 20 years. Pray for her about it. Number six. Let me hurry along now. Number six. I believe we ought to pray. Well, I believe we ought to intercede for the cause of Christ. You see, we have just neglected prayer so much in the churches today. But let me read to you from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul is talking about the preachers here. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You know what we're to pray for the preacher? That the word of God have free course. Amen. That's what we're to pray for our preacher on Sunday. You see, it's not about, you see, the problem today is we're mechanical. We got our outlines. We've been to Bible college. We've got our sermons laid out. They're eloquent. Our outlines are in the right place. Man, we need a touch of God. If God ain't working on that, it ain't no good. I mean, the devil's going to be right there in the pulpit. The devil will climb pulpit with you. Boy, I want the Word of God to have free course. Amen. I was thinking about, I reach a lot of listeners out here, and I was thinking about another station that was getting ready to take on the old devil. Said, why you want to do that? You know, just. But somebody out there is going to listen. The Word of God never returns void. Somebody out there is going to listen. Let me tell you something. Somebody's going to listen to this broadcast today. Somebody's going to get help from it. Interceding prayer. Do you pray for the cause of Christ? You know what the book of Matthew said? Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now every day when I go down my prayer list, I pray the Lord send laborers in the harvest. You know what we need? God calls some men to preach. And whether you go to Bible college or not, we need some men that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't mind how you preach. You can preach topical, you preach expository. I don't care how you preach. By the way, God don't care how you preach either. Amen. Don't let some man tell you how to preach. Let you preach how God tells you to preach. You say, well, you know, years ago, all those preachers were ignorant and they didn't preach expository. Let me tell you something. Our streets are safer when they are preaching. Amen. Crime was down when they were preaching. You didn't have the perversion, so I'd be quiet about that. Amen. But let me say this to you. We need some God-called preachers. We don't need men getting into it for money. We don't need men getting into it for position. We need some of you boys to get in it because God said, I want you to preach. Then when you get into it, you need to learn how to preach. You need to learn the Bible. You don't just be one of these fellas that's unteachable. Well, I'll just go with the Lord. Well, if you do that, you'll go with the Bible. Not in Moslem, amen. But pray for the work of Christ. We need laborers. Wait, we need some singers in the choir, don't we? There's preachers right now. You're sitting there without a piano player. Let me ask you a question. You've called everybody in the country. You've even tried to steal a few piano players from other churches. Let me ask you a question. Have you took it to the Lord in prayer? Have you laid it out just like old Hezekiah and you said, God, I don't have a piano player for Sunday. Will you send me one? Have you? You need some Sunday school teachers. God, will you send me some? God, we need some missionaries. Maybe you're, you know, missions nowadays, mission board telling me, preacher, it's just hard to get people to go to the mission field. Well, let me say something about that. Missionaries don't need to be recruited. They need to be called. And if you're called, you need to go. But let me tell you something. You know what? People don't want to answer the call anymore. These poor fellas that's running mission boards, no wonder they scratch their heads. People don't want to be called. But listen, let's get to praying that God will stir hearts and call some men to the mission field. If God don't call men to the mission field, if God don't call some men to preach, And 25 years from now, they'll be sending missionaries here. By the way, I've heard, and I can't confirm, I've heard that other countries are already sending missionaries to America. That's sad, brother. Now, let me give you number 7. I'm done. Intercessory prayer. What about interceding for the condemned? Let me read you a sobering verse in the Bible. In John chapter 3, verse number 18, the Bible said, "He that believeth not on him is," excuse me, let me back up. "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You know what? If you're lost, you're condemned already. In other words, hell's your home. Till you get saved, God's already assigned you to hell. The demons are waiting for you to die so they can take you into hell if you're lost without God. But you know what the Bible says? Romans chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God," that's not poetry, that's scripture. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Do you pray for the lost? On my prayer list, I've got lost people. I pray for them. Do you pray for the lost? Do you pray? Do you? Not your brother. "Oh, preacher, I need to pray for my lost lover." Hold. It's good to ask the preacher. It's good to ask the Sunday school class. There's nothing wrong with that. Have you prayed for them? Do you pray consistently? Listen, this is a hard thing for me to say, but until you pray every day for your lost loved one, I don't think you've got a right to ask anybody else to pray for them. I don't think you've got a right to ask anybody else to pray for something you ain't praying about, do you? I just don't think so. Amen? You say, "Preacher, that's tough, that's hard." I'm going to ask a question. Are you praying people to get saved? Boy, there's a lot of lost people out there that need the Lord. And you know, I don't know who you are on radio, but I want to see you get saved. No doubt I'm reaching some people that ain't saved. Friend, you can listen to preaching all day, but until you do something about it, you're going to die and go to hell without God. You better bow your head and ask Jesus to come in your heart and save you today. Amen. He died on Calvary's cross. He rose again for your sins. You better accept Him and ask Him today. Heavenly Father, will you take this message and use it for your glory? Thank you for letting me preach on this great day. I love you now. Save the sinner this nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.